Praise the Lord. So Deuteronomy chapter 12, as we go through this instruction time, almost a rehearsal of all the things that have gone on before, but still needed and necessary for us as we look at these this morning, as Moses speaks to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. We see a lot of instruction, a lot of things that are necessary for our own lives too as we look at these. So don't just look at these things as things for Israel as a history lesson, but certainly is a teaching lesson for us today. But it says, as we look at that, really it's a place of blessing now that he wants to instruct them in, but it involves worship. And worship isn't just singing songs. Worship is a thing of the heart. It's an issue of the heart, of real worship to our God. It isn't just singing songs. All of us can sing songs, some of us better than others. but the heart, when it comes to worship of our God and who he is just so important. Because we don't want to know God without worshiping him, because he alone is worthy. He's the one that deserves all of our worship and all of our praise. And so he starts out in verse 1 and he says, "These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess. He gives you to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth." And again, the instruction that's there, God is giving you the things that you have. And we all look around, well, I've earned my things. Well, who gave you the ability to do it? Who's the one that created you and formed you in your mother's womb? It was God. He's given you everything. And as he instructs Israel, they're coming into the land. He says, I'm giving you this land. Remember, it's still Israel's land. It is not anybody else's land. They deserve to be there because God said so. And who are we to say, God, you made a mistake. We should kick Israel out of where they are, which is what the world wants to do. But we know that's the work of the enemy in and through the world's thoughts and concerns. They think that Israel should be out of there. It's interesting, Pastor Joe, we listened to him, part of what his teaching this morning before we came, and he was talking about Egypt's history books. And they're saying that in their history books that Israel had leprosy and Egypt drove them into the Red Sea and they all drowned. Don't trust everything that you read. You trust the word. You trust the truth of who God is. We're rewriting our history books too. Don't trust everything that you see. You trust the word of God. You trust what you know to be true. But he says these are the statutes and judgments. And again, these aren't here to be a list of things that you have to do, of the things that you can't do. These are here as parameters to show you what's good in life and what's bad in life, and to walk in the truth. If you want the very best of life, you get saved, you walk with the Lord, you become born again, you walk in the Spirit, and you do those things not because you have to, but because they're the best things for you. This is an instruction booklet. It's an instruction letter to his kids, whom he loves dearly, and that's you and I. And he wants the very best for you. Just as you want the very best for your kids, this is what God has written down for you and I so that we could have the very best life. The world is going to dazzle. The world is going to seem a lot more fun than religion. But this is about relationship. This isn't religion. And relationships always want to please the one that loves us the most. And that's where our hearts should be as we come to faith and walk with him. So he says, I'm going to give you all these things for all the days that you live upon the earth. Amazing. As God points out, he said, you're going to have a long life if you do these things, and I'm going to be with you every day that you're here. Gee, it sounds familiar with the New Testament, doesn't it? That I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the same God, the same love relationship, the same blessing that he wants to pour out upon his people, the same blessing that he wants to give you and I. And he says, these things are here. In verse 2, he says, you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you possess serve their gods, under the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And you're going to see a lot of this, and. And we look and go, boy, that's a lot of instruction. Isn't it amazing how specific God is and how specific he has to be with his people? And aren't you glad sometimes that he's specific? Because if it was just a generality, we would go the wrong direction with it. That's why he has to be so specific. It's amazing to us as we look at these things, but sometimes we have to do it with our kids, don't we? You know, we sit there and we grab their faces after the 14th time that we've told them something, and we grab their faces and we look at them straight on and we go, listen to me and read my lips, because this is what I want to say to you. Because sometimes they don't listen. Amazing, isn't it? You were never like that, I know. You guys were always perfect. You were always good. Except for Michael, maybe. But we're all there. But he says, you shall utterly destroy all the places where they worshipped their gods. Notice it wasn't, he doesn't say where they worshipped me. It says where they worshipped their gods. Their gods are idols. They had to carry them. They carved them out of wood. They made them out of gold. They did all of these things. But their God wasn't alive. We have a true and a living God. And he loves us. We don't have to carry him. He's the one that carries us. So thankful that we don't have to worship an idol and carry him around, because he carries us. That's how wonderful he is to us and how much he loves us. But why would we have to destroy their gods? Why would we have to tear all those things down? Because if we don't, and we see it's going to happen because Israel doesn't do everything that God tells them, even though he outlines it and writes it in so plainly that anybody could know it, they don't do it. Can you relate to that? We're like that, aren't we? But he says these things because if we don't get rid of all of those things that are going to distract us, if we don't get rid of all of those things that are going to take us away from the love of God and put us into another place, we'll follow those things. We're quick to follow everything but the Lord. I'll follow people. I'll follow my husband. I'll follow my wife, rather than following the truth of God's word. Because we want to do those things. That's where our hearts are drawn. And those are the things that we want to keep. But he outlines these things for us. And as you look at this, you realize that God, the people of Israel, are not going to do this. Even though he outlines it, even though he's told them multiple times already. Remember, we're only in Deuteronomy, and how many times has he said these things already? And he keeps repeating himself, and yet they're not listening. And yet the grace of God to continue to deal with his people, to be long-suffering, and in that place where they can be distracted, he still is gracious to them and still loves them and still wants to encourage them, and he still wants to bring them to the best place possible. For you and I, that's heaven. He wants us to come to heaven with him. And he'll do everything in his power, in his ways, to bring us to that place. And speaking to us, ministering to us with all the issues that are around us in the world and in our own lives, he just loves us so much that he wants to speak to us and draw us to that place. That's a lot of love. I don't have that much love. I'll put up with my kids, but there's a point. And God knows, and he keeps trying to move that point for me. Love them unconditionally. I don't want to. I want them to be five again so I can pull out the paddle and let's go. He says, no, I want you to love them unconditionally. I want the right things for them too, and I'll deal with them. I'll minister to them, but you, I want your heart to be right before me too. Because he always deals with our hearts, doesn't he? And I know what some of you are doing right now. You're looking around the room and you're going, yeah, I wish, Lord, you'd deal with them because they need some dealing. You know, look at the clothes they're wearing. They need some fashion designer there. Wade with his meal-eating shirt. You know, Lord, do something with that. You know, he's worn that shirt for 18 meals. It's full of lasagna. It's got corn on it. It's got everything. Come on, Lord. And he says, I'm dealing with you. I want to touch your heart. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to love you so much that you'll know the very best place for you is with me and walking with me. And so he says in verse 3, and you shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. but you shall not do so unto the Lord your God. Why would he have to say that? Because that's what we would do if he didn't tell us. That's what we do when we sin against him. That's why Jesus had to come and die. Because there was sin in the world, there's sin in your heart, there's sin in my heart. But in worship, there's always a place of repentance, isn't there? Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm thankful for forgiveness. Lord, help me to do what's right and not to go in the wrong direction. Verse 5, he says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all of your tribes to put his name there, his character, his nature, who he is, because we can't contain God. He fills every space in the universe, so we can't contain him. But he says, I'll put my name there. You can worship in those places, but it's just going to be my character. Who I am is going to be there. Even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shall you come. I want you to come, and I want you to seek. And isn't that the invitation of the Lord always? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me and seek me. Seek me first. Seek me in all of your ways. Seek me for all of your issues and your problems and your distractions. Seek me for all of those things. Because I want to show you the best way to go in these things. And thither in verse 6 shall you bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herd and of your flocks. Isn't it amazing? As you look through, you see he says, get rid of the idols. And then he says, come and worship me. Because how much of a distraction would it be if we sit here in this place and we would be like Mars Hill, where they had an idol for everything, and even when they couldn't figure out all the gods, they had what Paul called the unknown God. They had an idol there for an unknown God. In case they missed one of the gods, they wanted to make sure they had favor. Aren't you glad there's only one God? We don't have to worship multiple places, multiple things. Be like walking through India. And again, there was... you can't kill rats in India. You can't kill cows. Poor folks, McDonald's would be out of business soon, wouldn't they? Because all of them could be an idol. All of them are things that people worship. And so you can't really destroy anything. But we have one God, and we have one way to worship him, and that's through his son Jesus. Scripture's very clear, and it tells us so plainly, and I'm so thankful that I don't have to be all over the map with who God might be, who God could be. He says, I'm him. I am that I am. He told Moses and the people of Israel, and he tells you and I am the one. So come unto me. He says in verse 7, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. He wants us to be able to be rejoicing people, not just a people that... It's so hard to look out and see sour-faced Christians. You know, they just ate 54 lemons all at once, and they're just... It's hard, because they're trying to please something that they can't please. There's no rejoicing in their heart. There's no rejoicing in the ways that they worship. There's no rejoicing in their love for the God who loves them so much. And he says, come unto me, and you're going to eat before me, and you're going to rejoice. You're going to be glad that I'm in your life, that you have me and I have you. And you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to and your households wherein the Lord your God has blessed you. He's blessed you with the homes that you have. He's blessed you with the children that you have. He's blessed you with the people around you that you have. And he says what? Rejoice in that, because I've put you there. Because we always wonder, Lord, why am I here? Why aren't I one of the ones in Venezuela with no home, with no family anymore? It's just because I put you in a place that I know what it is that I want to do in your life there, and I've put you there for a purpose and a plan. It says, in that place, I want you to be worshipers, and I want you to rejoice that you're there. But look at what he says. I don't want you to be mad at your household. He said, I want you to rejoice with your household. I want you to rejoice with that neighborhood that you're in, even though they had fireworks going off till 4 a.m. yesterday. It's okay. I put you there for a purpose. What purpose? They kept me awake. Did you pray for them? Oh, I think I killed him in my heart about 37 times, but no. I don't think I did pray for him. Oh, this is what I want you to do. This is my heart for you. This is my heart for those that are around you. And he says in verse 8, you shall not do after all these things that we do here this day, every man whatever is right in his own eyes. And that's where the world is right now, isn't it? We see it in Judges. You see the same wording. We see it in the world today. Doesn't matter what I do. If it's right in my eyes, it's okay. So you've made yourself God. Oof. That's what happens. Every man is going to do what's right in his own eyes and not in the eyes of God. We want approval from God. We don't want approval of man. We want God's approval. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear him say, you did what was right in your own eyes. I don't know you. Depart from me. Oh, I want to do God's will. I don't want to do my own will. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God gives you. And again, there's that word give. He's giving to us all that we need, the rest, the inheritance, the peace, the joy, all of those things. We haven't come into that fully yet. It's coming. He says, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land. For Israel, Jordan, going over Jordan was a place of baptism. Going over Jordan was a place where they entered in. They were baptized in the Red Sea. They're being baptized into the promised land. They're coming into that place of just being ministered to by God, and the blessing of God was going to be there. For us, it's just a picture here of what heaven is going to be for you and I. We've come across, we're going to go up to heaven. When we die, when we leave this earth, however we leave it, whether now or whether on the group plan with the rapture, but we're going home. And the way things are in the world, we're going home sooner than later. I hope you're ready. I hope you're looking for that more than you're looking for the next meal. Isn't it great? You know, you go out to eat, and you sit there, and you're finishing up eating, and you can't eat dessert because you're so stuffed. And what's the first thing you think of? I wonder what I should have for breakfast. You're so stuffed you can't move, and yet you're thinking of your next meal, aren't you? He says, think of me in the midst of that. When you go over, notice it says when. It doesn't say if. It says when. For you and I, it's a when. It's not an if. If you're not born again this morning, it could be an if. If you don't get born again, if you don't come to the place of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior for what he did on the cross for you, his death, his resurrection, then it's an if. You may not get there unless you know Jesus in that way. When you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God gives you to inherit, and when, there it is again, second time in this verse, when he gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety. Who's given us safety in America right now? The Lord. It isn't our government. I hate to tell you, your government has not saved you. It's the Lord that saved us. It's the Lord that's keeping us. He sustains us every single day. I'm just so thankful. And he says, after those two whens in verse 10, look at verse 11. First word, then. After this, then. When you go in, when he gives you rest, then there's going to be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, to abide there, to always inhabit those places. Then you shall bring all of which I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your choice vows, which you vow to the Lord. And we look at this as all of those things that Israel was going to bring. But for us, it's more of Romans chapter 12, that he wants us to be those living sacrifices. Lord, I want to give myself to you as a sacrifice. And I want to be holy and acceptable in your eyes, Lord. And he says in verse 12, and then you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons, your daughters. What's he saying? Your families. I want families together. Isn't it amazing? Right now in America, 55% of kids growing up don't have a dad or a mom. 55%. That's an awful number. God loves families. He wants them together. Sin has caused them to break apart. But God can put things together for us. And don't feel left out if you don't have a mom or a dad. Don't feel left out if you don't have that complete family, because God is the one who sets the solitary in families, he says. And we're in the family of God together in this. And I'm just so thankful that he's given us all of this. You realize how much he's given us? He's given us a land to dwell in. We've got a roof over our head, even though it leaks. At least we got a roof. It covers most of you. I'm just glad it didn't fall down during service. That would have been hard. Talk about distractions. That would have been something. But rejoice in what you do have. Lord, I may not have a complete family, but Lord, I have you. And you're going to set me in the family of God. And Lord, because I have this family, I don't have to feel left out. I don't have to feel different. I don't have to feel bummed out because I don't have this or I don't have that. I have you, and you have me. I have everything that I need. Don't look for more when you have everything that you need, because all you're going to find is the things of the world, and they're never going to satisfy you. There's a lot of dazzle in the world, but it's not going to satisfy you. You'll just go from one dazzle to another dazzle, and it's never going to satisfy. All it's going to do is be bright and shiny and glitter, and then it's going to blow away. Ugh. And you shall rejoice, verse 12, before the Lord your God, your sons, your daughters, your manservants, your maidservants, and the Levite that's with you within your gates, for as much as he has no part or nor inheritance with you. The Levite, he doesn't have any part, he doesn't have an inheritance, because it tells us in Scripture that God is their inheritance. They don't have a place. They don't have boundary lines in the land. They have the cities that God places them in and puts them in. We'll get into that later on as we go through more of that. But in verse 13, then he says, take heed to yourself. He goes through all of this, and then he says, watch out. Because as soon as you get all of this, trouble could come. Take heed to yourself that you offer not burnt offerings in every place that you see. I want it done in one place with one focus for one reason, that you won't get distracted with everything else. Because as we come to God and God alone, that gives us focus and it gives us understanding that there is only one God and that he loves us and that he wants us. If we go every place and we think, well, this is God, well, this is God, well, this is where he is, well, this is where he is, we get distracted, and you never really know who God really is. It says, then come to that place and come and worship me. Why? Because God needs worship. He doesn't need anything. He's complete in himself, Scripture says. He wants our hearts to get settled and to get focused. It's for us. It's not for him. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need me up here teaching. He doesn't need me up here running my mouth every week. Thank you. I can always count on Michael, you know. Thank you, Michael. He keeps me humble is what he does. That's good. But he says, I want you to rejoice in who I am. I love you so much that I want you to have the very best. So take heed to yourselves that you don't offer burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord your God shall choose in one of my tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall have all that I command thee, in the place that God names, in that place that he has for us. And right now it's not a place for us, it's a person. It's a person of Jesus Christ. That's who we worship and that's who we have. And he says in verse 15, oh boy, we got to hurry because you guys aren't listening well this morning. Notwithstanding, you may kill and eat the flesh in all your gates. So now he's going to change some of the dietary laws that are going on there. Because remember, they had so many dietary laws that you had to make sure you did this, didn't do that, and all of that. But now he's changing it a little bit. He says, notwithstanding, you may kill and eat flesh in all your gates, whithersoever your soul lusteth after, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof as the roebuck and as of the hart, only you shall not eat the blood. Why? Because he tells us in the New Testament that the life is in the blood. And he says, don't eat the blood. Isn't it amazing that we still drain the blood when we kill animals? You shall pour it out upon the water as the earth. You may not eat within your gates. the tithe of your corn or of the wine or of the oil or of the firstlings of the herds or of the flock or of any of the vows which you vow, nor the freewill offerings nor heave offerings of all your hand. What does it mean? It entails everything, doesn't it? It's all inclusive. And he says, but you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God shall choose you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite that's within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all those places that I put my hands unto. Rejoice again. And again, I say rejoice. I think rejoice has been in there a couple of times. And for you and I this morning, maybe we're in that place where we haven't been rejoicing much in what God is doing in our lives. I know a lot of you are dealing with health issues. A lot of us are dealing with financial issues. You're dealing with issues of the heart that says, Lord, I don't know if I really know you well enough. And he says, rejoice, and I'll show you. Rejoice, and I'll keep you. Rejoice, and I'll give you direction and understanding for what you need. So again, in verse 19, he says this, take heed. Second time in this chapter, take heed, watch out. Isn't it amazing that the Lord has to tell us to watch out? Because he knows our hearts, don't we? We get so happy sometimes with things, and all of a sudden, kaboom, you get smacked by the enemy, you get smacked by something, and you go, what happened here? Lord, I was rejoicing, and all of a sudden I get smacked. What's up with this? He says, I told you to take heed. I told you to watch out. I told you to be careful, but you weren't paying attention. And that's what happens when we don't pay attention to the things of the Lord. The enemy's quick to come in and to just distract us from the truth that God has just given us. It's awful, isn't it? You sit there, and I sit there in the morning, and I read my Bible, and I get so encouraged sometimes and so built up, and I know what you're saying. You should have that all the time. I know. So should we all, huh? But you get so built up, and you get so encouraged. I was sitting there reading the Psalms by Spurgeon yesterday in Psalm 9. He just blew me away with Psalm 9, and it was just... I was just so encouraged. I turned around, and I kicked the cement. I didn't have shoes on. Just like, really, Lord? I couldn't lift my foot up high enough to get up the step. I have to kick this stupid cement. And what happened? Psalm 9 just went out the window, and my toe got the focus. It happens, doesn't it? Because the enemy is quick to be there. He says, take heed, be careful, because otherwise you're going to lose everything that I give you. You're going to lose all the direction. You're going to lose all the focus. And you're going to end up going, God, what is wrong with you? Why have you given me this life? He says, I gave you a perfect life. You're just ruining it with your sin. It isn't because I haven't given you life. It isn't because I haven't given you understanding. It's because you're not paying attention. Oh, and I hate it when he says that. Well, Lord, I think I'm paying attention. He goes, you're not paying attention. It's just like when you were in school. You thought you were doing your homework. And you get there and you realize you haven't done anything. Well, Lord, I was going to do it. And so what do? You get the smartest person in the class and you take their homework, you copy it word for word, and then you turn it in. And they go, did you copy this from somebody? Of course I did. Take heed. Take heed. It's so important for us to do that. Verse 20 says, when the Lord your God shall enlarge your border. In other words, he's going to enlarge the things that you have. He's going to enlarge your understanding. And that's what happens as we progress in our walk with the Lord. The more we read, the more we pray, the more we enter into fellowship, the more we're in that place of just seeing who God is for what he says, the more he's going to enlarge our understanding for the things that he's doing in the world, for the ways that are happening. We see these treaties that are being made with Iran and Lebanon, and I hate to tell you, but I know they aren't going to work, because what's happening in the last days, Iran's going to come against Israel. They can't be destroyed, because the Lord's going to use them in the end days to come against Israel. Lebanon's all part of that. I hate to tell you, there's not going to be a truce there, and I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but that's what my Bible says. It's not what I say. It's what he's saying. These things aren't going to come to pass because I'm using them for a different purpose in a different way. But the Lord can enlarge your border. He can enlarge your understanding of who He is. He can enlarge your wisdom on how to get through this life and to do it well. How to love your wife. I don't know about you guys. I need wisdom in how to love my wife. Because there are some days she says, I really like this. And the next day, what do you mean I like this? I never liked that. You told me yesterday. Nah. He says, dwell with your wives according to wisdom. And I go, Lord, I'm trying to be wise, but I He says, well, you got to come to me and I'll show you. Oh, because our emotions change us every day, don't they? Oh, my grandson, when he was with us for most of his early years, one of our grandsons, the only thing he would eat was pizza and peanut butter and jelly. And all of a sudden, he's telling us all these dumb things that he's eaten. I go, where did that come from? You would not eat any of that when you were here with us. And he goes, this stuff is good. I just tried this the other day. It's wonderful. Why didn't you do it before with us? He's going to enlarge us. He's going to grow us. He's going to minister to us. And he's going to show us all of these wonderful things. But folks, you aren't going to see the things of the Lord unless you're in the Word. Unless you're studying the true Word of God, you aren't going to see those things. And we're all going to have issues. We're all going to have trials. Do you want to know how to get through them? There's only one place to find the strength and the wisdom and the direction to go. And it's in your Bible. It's not on how you feel, because your feelings are going to lie to you. I really love this. No, you don't. You just like it. Because we sit here and what? We know that when pot face starts, the first thing in line is pizza. I love pizza. Jack loves pizza. But you know what? It doesn't last. You eat it, it's gone. Jesus is always there. You like pizza. We need to love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us to do that. Not go by our emotions or our taste buds, but go by what your word says. In verse 21, he says, if the place which the Lord your God has chosen to put his name there be too far from you, then you shall kill of the herd and the flock which the Lord has given you as I've commanded you, and you shall eat in the gates whithersoever your soul lusts after. Even as the roebuck and the hart is eaten, so shall you eat them. The unclean and the clean shall you eat of them alike. But just make sure the Lord is in the midst of it. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, as he tells us again, that you may not eat the life within the flesh. Thou shalt not eat it, that you shall pour it upon the earth as water. And it's amazing, as you look through Scripture, we see this come to an example with Cain and Abel, don't we? Because Cain kills Abel. What happens? His blood flows into the ground. And what does the Lord say? He's speaking out of the ground. The blood speaks out of the ground. But for him, it was going to be death because he killed his brother. But you know what? The blood that Jesus shed that went down cries out now forgiveness. It doesn't cry out guilty like it did with Cain and Abel. It cries out forgiven for those that love Jesus as Lord and Savior. Isn't that great? You just sit there and look at it and you just go, okay, this is cool. Let's keep going with this. That's why we take communion so often, to remember what Jesus has done for us. That it isn't us that's any good, it's God who's really good. He's done everything. But verse 25, he says, you shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. He says, this is going to be a blessing for your kids, so don't do it. What's the first thing people do? Why can't I do it? I know none of you were rebellious, but I can just hear you saying, why can't I do it? I want to do it. Why can't I go out? Why can't I do these things? Why can't I go to that place? Because it's not good for you. And our rebellious hearts say, well, I want to do it anyway. Well, you can go and do it and God will let you. But the trouble is you're going to suffer the consequences. And that's the hardest thing for us as people to learn. Because when we're kids, we don't learn it. What do you mean I can't go out with that girl? Why not? Because she's not good for you. What, you think I'm some good guy? She's good. She's good. No, you just want her. It isn't that she's good. You just got your eyes set and your emotions set on something and you says, no, it's not good. And then you find out later the reason why it's not good. That's why God has instructions for all these things. That's why we need to keep in the Word. He says in verse 26, only the thy holy things which you have and your vows which you shall take and go into the place which the Lord shall choose. And you shall offer your burnt offerings, the flesh, the blood, upon the altar of the Lord your God. And the blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and you shall eat the flesh. Observe and hear all of these words. What does he say? Underline those words. Do something with them. Observe and hear. You look at it, you hear it, and then you do something with it. Observe and hear all these words. Why? Because I'm God and you got to. No, he says observe and hear it because it's going to go well with you if you do. Oh, and notice what he says. And with your children after thee, how long? Forever. Oh, there's a forever. When you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God, the consequences that we get when we walk with the Lord are always good for us. And when the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, whether you go to possess them and you succeed them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself. Third time in this chapter, you think he's trying to say something? Take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee. And you shall inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I'll do the same thing. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord, look at what he says about them, they're abominations. And if God doesn't like it, who are we to say, well, I like it? Ooh, which he hateth, have they done after their gods, for even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. You know what sin does, folks? It desensitizes you to every part of sin, to the place where you could take your sons and your daughters and give them to Molech. Molech was a god of the Canaanite nations, and he was a god that they would heat up to overwhelming heat, and they would have a worship service, which is sad, just what the enemy does to our hearts. But then while they were worshiping and screaming and shouting, they would take their kids and put them in that fire and burn them. But they're shouting so loud they wouldn't hear the cries of the babies. That's how awful sin is that we would give our kids up so that we could have pleasure. And folks, you may not put them in a fire, but if you're wanting to do stuff more than you want to take care of the family that God has given you, or if you would want to do that more than honor what your mother or father are saying, then really what you're doing is you're offering them to a fire and you're burning them up. So what things soever I command you, observe to do it, that you do not add to it nor diminish from it. And there's a lot of scriptures you can mark down. I'll just give you the scriptures. You can look them up because we're beyond time. But in Joshua 1:7, in Proverbs 30, verse 6, Revelation 22, verse 18, you can look those up. Don't add to the word. Don't take away from the word. God's word is complete. And you remember Eve, way back in Genesis, what did she do? She added to the word. First thing, as soon as sin came in, as soon as the serpent was there, the first thing that happened was they took God's word and they added to it. That's what sin will do. That's how much we have to take heed. That's why I think the Lord says three times just in this chapter, take heed. Where's your heart? Is your heart after the things of the Lord? Or even right now, are you thinking, I can't wait to get out of here and go do what I want to do? Ugh. I'm glad it's not football season, because 1 o'clock would come real quick and you'd be on the TV just amazing stuff that the Lord tells us. And he continues to repeat himself. I'm thankful because I need repetition, because if the Lord didn't repeat it to me, I'd probably forget it. In fact, sometimes I do as soon as I'm done reading. Did you ever do that? You sit there and read your Bible, and as soon as you get done and somebody says, what'd you read this morning? I know it's there somewhere. I can retrieve it. It's just because I'm old that I'm forgetting. No, I know it. You lost it. That's us, isn't it? The Lord's got a lot to do with us, doesn't he? And I'm thankful he still loves us enough to keep working on us. Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion and remember what you've done for us, Lord, we know that you've spoken this morning, Lord. Your word has been given out. Your word has been spoken to us, Father. And we know that you're behind those words, that you're speaking to our hearts even now of the things that you have for us, whether to take heed of the direction that we're going, to take heed of those things that are around us that we're starting to dabble in, to take heed of those things that somebody has told us no, or the word has told us no, and yet we're continuing on because it's what we want. And our will overruns your will, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Help us. Speak to us this morning as we sit and listen. We know that you want to speak to us even now. You're not done talking, Lord. So speak to our hearts. We know that you love us, and it's out of a loving heart that you give us these things. So thank you for it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.